You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 62 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
I love this crowd.
What is the reference there? I love this crowd.
That is a... You're starting way too early. You started like... I don't know why you started when the theme song's still
There's
going.
There's no rules here.
It's true. There are no rules in the world of JRVP. That was a reference to Steve Whalen, a New York comedian who passed away a week or so ago. We had last week off, so I didn't get to talk about him. But he was a young comic. I mean, relatively young, who'd been in the scene. I didn't really know him at all, but other comics who knew him were talking about him. And I looked up his stuff, and he was like a joke guy. Not similar to me, but like he did just like kind of one-linery jokes. Some of them very, very funny. Some of them so awful you couldn't believe it. And I think he enjoyed both. But he was kind of a staple of the New York comedy scene and never like really made it. I don't know how much money he made in his whole life of doing comedy, but one of those people that I like to give a little shout out to after they're gone. So rest in peace, Steve Whalen.
Feels like a lot of young comics just die all the time.
That's not true at all. And this guy, it was like he wasn't a drug guy or a drinker. There wasn't
I'm not
like
trying
a,
to be flip about it. It just seems like it's always it does seem like if NFL players were dying at this rate, people would make a big deal out of it.
They do.
Yeah,
that's NFL what I'm players saying. Like rarely make it to 50. But comedians, like name the last one.
Well, I don't want to go through it. You know,
are you talking about like Brody, which was I think a year ago or so, and he was not young. This guy died of like it wasn't like a drug thing. It was just he just must have not been the healthiest guy in the world. I think it was a seizure or something. But yeah, poor kid passed away. But it's not. No more than any of the profession, I would think.
Really starting off. This show, you know.
Like more rappers, I would say.
Like gangbusters. Yeah, a lot of rappers lately. Shout out to Pop Smoke.
Oh, poor Pop Smoke.
You know, this is, of course, the podcast where Anthony Jeselnik, you know, the famous comedian, me and his best friend, NFL Network, along with our producer, Erica, you know, try to make Anthony enthused about what we're doing here. And I would say over the course of 62 episodes here, and we did a season back at the NFL Network, the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
RJVP.
It's hard to like,
how do you say it and then not do
well,
the
it's
thing?
Hard to like say it. You need to take like a breath and then you go right into it.
Is it hard or is it impossible?
It's,
is it hard or is it impossible?
I blew it. And
but you set it up.
Like I'm saying, part of this podcast and that podcast, the purpose I think is to keep Anthony excited, engaged, enjoying seeing his friend, and so that the podcast can continue for the listeners, for me, for Erica, for Anthony's godchildren. And I think for most of the time, it's been Anthony's been soaring. He's been loving it. It's been a gift. But right now, I feel like we're at a little bit of a lull for you.
You've been wrong about almost everything you've said. So
you literally, just said, you know, you're very busy. You're tired right now. It's like this podcast is one more thing. Maybe that. Who knows? I don't know if you want to be doing it.
We've got
the excitement.
We've got 8 episodes.
What
left
have I been
this,
wrong about? Other
two?
Than the comedians, which I'm right about. But
no, you're not. No, you're not wrong. What, like us being best friends, I think is going away as we get through this season. But yeah, we've got 8 episodes left after this one. And I promised a season 3 if Comedy Central is into it. I think they would be. But if they were like, actually, we're not going to do podcasts going forward, I would be like, okay. I would not fight them. I would enjoy myself. And I like doing this podcast. I like, it's easy for me to get to. I do enjoy doing it. It's not like a ton of work.
If that's the first thing that comes out of your mouth, easy to get to.
That's one of the first things that I like look for in a job. But when it's over, I will enjoy having my privacy back, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like we talk, and there's no other way for me to do the podcast than just to talk honestly about everything. But I will enjoy it once it's over. But I have promised you guys 100 episodes of JRVP. And, you know, I would say the point of this podcast for you sometimes is just to call me out and annoy me publicly because you think that's like what people are into on this podcast when they actually just like to hear me in this environment.
That's just what I do in general. I mean, I think if you aren't enthused about this podcast right now, it's because you're just not that enthused with me right now, you know?
I'm more enthused with you than I am with the podcast.
Did something happen between you guys?
Should we get into it?
Well, absolutely.
Let's just dive in.
I'm happy to get into it. Greg's birthday was, 2 weeks ago? Like, it was right after our last podcast.
Yeah, it was the day after.
And I took Greg and his wife out to dinner at like a sushi restaurant. Sushi Park, one of my favorite places. It was a great dinner. We had fun. And I got tickets for Greg, his wife, and the god kids to go to a Laker game that weekend. And Greg was like, oh, that's a great birthday present, the dinner and this. You didn't have to do all that. But I felt like the Laker game was kind of for me. We had a great time at the game. We had really good seats. The kids were pretty into it. Walker was really into it. Ellis, a little less.
Really?
But like hanging out with her mom, like was into it, but wasn't like as into it as Emeka was.
She's not as into basketball, Ellis, in general. But Walker was loving it. He was dancing, you know, in the hall, like in it. He was like sprinting to the bathroom and back because he wanted to see the game.
But how many times did he go to the bathroom in like a 3 hour period?
A lot, like five. Or
five,
so.
At least five. The over-under would be
He's
five.
He's drinking a lot of lemonade and water.
I think he enjoyed the trips. You know what I mean? I think he liked being in the Staples
Center. The whole thing was super
exciting.
You know, the streamers come down. He really is into basketball. It's the Celtics are the first team that he roots for the whole game versus if they lose any other sport, whoever loses the lead, then he just starts rooting for whoever's winning. But the Celtics, like, he stayed true to them the whole game. He was legitimately upset when it ended and they lost a very close game.
But in the very beginning of the game, he almost started cheering for the Lakers because everyone was so excited. Yeah. It was like, I was rooting for the Lakers. Everyone else was, clearly. A few Boston fans, but even the Boston fans would try to start a chant and they'd get booed down.
Ellis was annoyed. She was like, I want to go to a game where, you know, the team is rooting for, you know, my team. So they didn't like that aspect of it as much.
But I remember turning to Greg and being like, do they know about Kobe and like what happened to Kobe? Because that's what got me. That's why I went and bought these tickets. Like, I wanted to be part of this Lakers season. And it meant a lot to me to be able to bring Greg and the family. Like it's different going to the Staples Center with kids. People treat you much differently when you've got kids. Like, they're much nicer to you when you've got kids with you because it's more of like a family experience, and I enjoyed that. But I remember turning to you and being like, do they know about Kobe? And you're like, actually, no. Like, we thought their school might tell them, but they didn't.
I just thought, like, Ellis, who's in second grade, I figured maybe it would come up at school just among other kids, but it never had, and I never brought it up.
And then I realized that if I told the kids about Kobe, that might make them Lakers fans on the spot, and I threatened to. I threatened to tell them about Kobe. It would have been funny to do in that situation.
Ellis did ask as we at one point because you know they're selling Kobe gear, you know, on every block on your way, you know, to and from the Staples Center.
Yeah, she asked about him.
Yeah,
what'd you guys say? It's like he's one of the best players in Laker history, or were you like, he's a guy who passed away recently?
I said he was one of the best, you know, players ever, and he died recently.
Did you tell her about young comedians dropping like flies? But that's not
it's
that was
dangerous.
A, that
we
was
worry,
a fun,
I worry about you.
Yeah. That was a fun time.
Yeah, but what happened?
Here's what happened. And do you know about this?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay, it's really funny.
It's not that big.
And it's not a big deal, but you can understand why I'd be angry in the moment. So like months ago, I like email my manager, Christine. I'm like, hey, I want to get Greg a birthday present. I was thinking about getting like a broadcasting coach, like someone to like work with him like on a professional level and like buy like five sessions or something. And she's like, oh, that's a really sweet
Because you remember that I had said like, I want to be better on air. Like that's one thing.
I think very highly of your abilities. I think you've earned everything that you have at the NFL Network and you're very good at your job. But you were also at a disadvantage because you're not an ex-player working there, that any edge you can get, any kind of like bump up you can get in ability, I think is valuable. So I was like, oh, this would be a nice gift to surprise him with. And my manager and her assistant like scoured the earth, like scoured the city of Los Angeles looking for someone. And they like over the months, they would bring someone to me. I'd be like, that's an acting coach. Like, I've worked with that guy. I hated him. No. Or this person, no. And it was like, this person Skypes. And I was like, nope. And then like the night before, the assistant calls me and she's like, or emails me. She's like, I think I found the guy. Like, this is a guy, and so many of them are like scam artists. It would be like a guy being like, it's $250 to me, I'll talk to him on the phone, and then I'll recommend someone, and he'll work with that person for whatever they charge.
Right.
And then I'll be his mentor. And I was like, a mentor? Like, no. And he's like, this is the guy. He works with like all these people, like Stephen A. Smith, a bunch of great people. And I was like, great. How much is it? And it's a fucking ton. It's like a lot. And I was like, all right, I'll get a package of five. And
how do you come up with five versus just like one or three?
I thought five is like you're going to get the, like everything out of it. If you want more, you can get more. But like five is like you can't go wrong with five. Three might be too little. One seems like I'm making you buy the rest of them. But five seemed like, okay, this is like a boss move. And ten's too much. But five seemed perfect. But it was a lot of money. But I was happy to do it. And then they sent me an email with all the information. And like have Greg call this guy this week.
Oh, no.
And he's like, and the guy's like familiar with Greg. He listened to the podcast. He watched some clips. And he thinks he can help Greg.
I can already see where this is going.
And we're like, we get to the restaurant. And we have to wait like 5 minutes before they seat us. And Greg is high. Emeka and I are stone sober. Greg's just like smiling.
I was really not that bad. I was like five.
You weren't bad at all.
5 hours before, very low grade.
You weren't bad. You weren't bad at all. It was like, but since we're both sober, Emeka and I are both sober. You were more like we were completely sober, and you were a little stoned, and which is fine. It's your birthday. We were having dinner, but I'm like, I got you a present, and Greg immediately is like laughing. He's like, he's bad at accepting gifts in general. And I'm like, I tell him like, I got you this like broadcasting coach, and immediately. He's like, what? Why would you think I wanted like broadcasting lessons?
I didn't say anything immediately.
And like starts laughing, can't even make eye contact. And I'm just looking at him like, I wish you would just shut up and just say thank you. And Emeka, like your saving grace was that Emeka's looking at you like, just shut up and say thank you. Like this is terrible. And then I like explaining what it is and like I got you five sessions. And you're just like, oh, they had this guy, one guy at the NFL Network who was like, we just like hated. And was kind of a joke and just such like a douche. And we had to work with him a little bit.
And I was saying, like, I think that's just my initial reaction to it. You know, I did try to push it down initially.
Oh, yeah. And you were
quickly.
Yeah, but
and then
was,
that lasted,
not good
that
at
lasted
it.
Like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I said, but then trying to explain myself, I said, you know, they had this guy, this coach at the NFL Network that we had met with once, and it was, you know, it was a really bad experience. And so maybe that's just sort of, making me biased towards this. I should be quiet about
it. And in my head, I'm like thinking like, at least I got the best guy. And it's like, if he had a bad experience, like I definitely got the best guy that there is. And then I tell him who, I like look at my phone and I read the name of the guy. And what was your response?
I don't remember. I think I tried to say...
You go, that's the guy. That's
the
guy.
The guy from the NFL?
Yes. Oh. And
I waited like 10 seconds. I actually... I think you were annoyed. And Anthony's pretty...
If it had just been me and you, I would have gone from annoyed to pissed. But Emeka was like as annoyed as I was. So I was like, we can share this energy...
But she also was like on some level enjoying it.
Of course.
Because she identified so much with you because no one knows what it's like to be annoyed by me. I don't remember what I said, but I do remember her saying just like, I was feeling so bad for Anthony. I know what it's like to be annoyed by you, especially including like giving a gift.
Yes. Yes, and but I'm like I'm holding it together. I'm like, and you would like apologize after. And I was like, I'd rather you be honest than like find out later that like this was not a good gift. But I'm like annoyed, and I'm like I'm like you're gonna go to all five of these lessons, and you're gonna like give it your best. This was a lot of money, and you're accepting this very poorly. But like, and I'm not even mad because I didn't work that hard to do this. I spent the money, but I'm like feeling bad for my manager's assistant who like scoured the earth looking for someone and trying to find somebody. And then a couple days later, we start good talk. Good talk. We get moving to the offices, and I'm talking to
Emma.
Emma, our writer's assistant, former placeholder for Erica when she was
former NFL producer, just like Erica is now.
I think she still jumps in every now and again over there, but has been working with me. And I tell her the story, and when I mention the guy's name or like describe him, her response. And Emma's like one of the sweetest, nicest people I've ever met who's never said a bad word about anybody. Goes, oh, that fucking guy? And I was just like, oh my God, what have I done? So I email my manager's assistant and I was like, email this guy, tell him that it's like ridiculous that he didn't say that he's like worked with Greg before. Greg is not interested in these lessons.
Right.
Like,
yeah, we had worked with him a couple times, yeah. Years and years
ago. So I called Amex and was like, cancel this charge. And she emailed the guy and was like, we wish you had like said before that you guys had worked together. Greg doesn't think it would be very helpful. We're gonna cancel the lessons. And I don't think she heard back, but I got the money. Like I got the charge back, and Greg will not have to do that. So it was like a disaster. There's no ill will. I'm like, I should have asked you before. I thought it'd be a good surprise. I'm never surprising anyone with anything ever again. But I certainly wasn't angry with Greg, other than that moment.
You did hold it in. I do want to ask though, like you, when we, so this all happened as we were waiting outside for our table, mm-hmm. for the most part. They were getting the table ready. And then when we went in to get to the table, that kind of ended it for the most part. But you went to the bathroom. And at that point, you seemed like you were on a simmering boil. And I said to him, I was like, I think he's going to like, wash up or whatever, go to the bathroom just to like calm down and reset.
I definitely had to use the restroom, but I took that moment to calm down and reset. And part of it was just like if we had all been completely sober, then it would have been less annoying. But you were like giggly and enjoying yourself.
Yeah,
that
but
I was
you're
just
also
like
a smug asshole, regardless.
That so. I was. I did need a moment to calm down. But if I, but I think if I had been, I don't know if it would have been better or worse if I had been high as well. But being sober, I was just like, I need to take a moment and. And that, we were about to eat an amazing dinner, so I was like excited about that. Just to
and
get
we
over
still
with
had
it,
a, and we still had a great dinner.
I had a good time. I told you that I was more annoyed that you ordered a glass of red wine with your sushi.
That didn't make any sense.
Than I was that that you handled a birthday present so poorly.
It did get me thinking though, because well, a few things. Like I do remember Emeka saying, like you know, she knows what it's like to be annoyed with me, like. Stop annoying the people that you love the most around you, which as I'm getting older, like that is, you know, you do. I am interested in improving as a person, you know, like making steps as you're getting older to
get you a package of 5 classes to improve as a person.
I'm saying like you do. It is something you think about, obviously, as you get older, trying to like, you know what your own issues are. And at least I think most people like think, okay, like I want to make progress at doing that. And you think about it a lot more when you have kids, because I've noticed Ellis is terrible at getting gifts, which is normal.
A lot of kids are. Yeah.
I know, but I see a lot of myself in her.
You're 41 years old though. She's 8.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to like teach her things when it doesn't go well, like telling her how to take a gift that she doesn't like, which, or just like things like that. And it's hard to, you know, tell your kids that when you can't, like, do it yourself. I mean, but then on some level, you live this life and, like, you are who you are. And, yeah, you can, like, improve certain things on the margins and you can, like, quiet some things down and you can be aware of some things. But also, I'm probably going to be, like, annoying the shit out of people when I'm 75, too.
I guarantee it.
Maybe more.
I think you can just.
I wish I could stop that.
You can just accept that you're bad at surprises and you're bad at accepting gifts, and that's fine. Like if you're like, listen, I'm bad at this, but I've gotten you presents that you've been like very grateful
for, of course,
very excited about.
Because I like those,
and I think I would have been less annoyed probably if I wasn't about to pay for dinner. Like if I wasn't like, I'm like, we're at a really nice place, and I'm about to like buy this asshole dinner, and he can't keep a straight face because I got him such a terrible present that took months. To research.
The heart was in the right place. You should know that.
Of course. And I said that. And I said that. And we texted that night.
No one debated whose heart was in the right place.
Yeah, of course.
And I would rather you be honest. If you would,
right, that's
the
thing.
If you had been like straight faced and been like, thank you so much. And then I found out later.
Well, especially at the build up to it where I was like, okay, I was doing a terrible job initially when I didn't even know it was the guy. But then when it was like building up to it, there was a moment actually. I don't know if you were looking at your phone or you, I think, went to the front and I kind of like looked at him and I was like, should I tell him that it's the guy? And I was like, I can't not.
You said it immediately as soon as I told you who the guy was. You said, that's the guy immediately.
I can't keep it to myself. It is kind of funny. I mean.
That's very funny. It's very, in the moment, I was certainly annoyed, yes. But it is very funny and I wasn't like.
I want to be
I wasn't
better.
As annoyed with you as I was at just like my bad luck. like that I picked of all the guys I picked, but immediately you were like, this was a bad choice.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is, you know, an exaggeration, but on some level, you know, he's a character that the people around him ultimately like him, but he like annoys the shit out of him. And I can identify with that. I just don't have, you know, like the incredible money and success that he does.
If you were like me, you'd have more of an excuse to act that way, even though I never act that way. If someone like, if
you
were like,
and you act
if you were like,
ways.
I surprised you,
you act in other ways. We all
with
have
a birthday
own
present, I would have been like grateful and not laughed in your face at all. But of course, for my birthday, Greg was nice enough to let me buy him dinner that time too.
You won't let me do it. I mean, that's the thing. You won't let me. I've tried to like take you out to dinner or whatever, and you're like, no, it's my birthday. Like, I want to go to the place that I want to go to. And then, you know.
I don't want to feel bad. I'm making you pay for this, like 2 bottles of this wine that I wanted. I want to be able to order the wine that I would drink. And I don't want to, like, make you suffer for my wine.
For your largesse. I mean, maybe making people suffer is part of a good relationship.
Yeah, it's a funny story. I was pissed for about 5 minutes. But like, if it had just been me and you, I would have gotten more angry. But Emeka chilled me out because she was like looking at you like the same way I was looking at you.
Yeah, you guys were on the same side. And the next day, she, as this was playing out in the following few days, where I was obviously feeling bad about it initially, you know, right away. And then, you know, I started talking about like, oh, I'm going to email this guy. And, you know, I actually was putting myself in a good mind frame that just like, I'm going to have a good attitude to do it. But then when I, you know, told her the follow up story of that, you're trying to get the money. I mean, she was loving this story.
Yeah, of course. Like, of course. There's nothing not to love. It's not like a tragic story.
I can't wait till you see him in the office.
Well, yeah, I have thought about that too. They, you know, they send the email you sent everyone did a great job, but you know, it said, "Yeah, Greg."
He doesn't
Greg
think he
had no
much.
Interest in Wait, it.
No, he didn't say no. He didn't think it would be that helpful to him. He's worked with you before, but even like Megan Gailey, who's a writer on the show, was like, "Oh, I hate that." Like that guy, like touched her in the hallway and was like, "I'll be working with you soon." And she was like, "What? Like who's this asshole?" That I was annoyed that he like didn't represent himself. I felt like almost taken advantage of.
So it all worked out. You didn't, you know, you got the money back.
Yeah. It wasn't like I cared about the money. It was like giving it to him for something you never wanted. And like, I just felt like I felt misled by him, even though I never talked to him in any way.
We've had some great presents over the years. We used to give baller presents like Mario, you know, like the Casanova Frankenstein, Mario Lemieux jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Had some good presents.
Mm-hmm. What's the best gift you've ever gotten him?
Those were the two that I could just remember.
One of them was a gift that I got you.
That's true.
I got you. I think my favorite that I got you a first edition copy of Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah.
Before Vonnegut died, and it skyrocketed in price.
Still displayed.
But we stopped that.
Proudly.
Greg and I stopped getting show presents. Did you guys vote today?
I voted last week.
Yeah.
Did you go to the place to vote early?
I went to the library and voted early. It took like 2 minutes. It was awesome.
They had like last night, one of my writers had said she voted last night, went in. I didn't even know they were doing that before. And there was like a rally, like an impromptu rally outside my apartment that it was like loud as hell. And I was like so annoyed. I'm like, I'm just going to walk and do it now. And I was tired. Like I was, had to go to bed early, cranky. And but just like made like 20 minutes away from my place, walked, and it was not one of the polling places that was open the night before. So I had to go home, go to sleep.
They were open for like
early.
A week.
Yeah, but the one near my place wasn't one of those. But I went in today. There were only like 3 people in front of me, but it took forever because it was like 5 of the oldest people in the city running it. And like, thank you for your service. But it's like if there's one young person there, it helps so much. And one of my other writers was like, the line was 100 people long, like stretched around the gymnasium.
Dang.
Everyone's annoyed. That and it was once you get to the iPad, it's very quick, but yeah, I did it, and I'm looking forward to not thinking about it again until November.
Didn't seem like it was like an election week here. I don't know. You would think it'd be a bigger deal. People trying to win California. There's no billboards. Like there's no ads until the last few days. I don't know.
I didn't see. I don't watch much TV, so I didn't see a lot of it. But yeah, I'm glad that it'll be over for a little while. We'll see. We'll see what we have to deal with.
I was at the NASCAR event this weekend with Walker. I've been going big on on live sports. Stayed overnight near San Bernardino. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but it's like it's kind of fun to have like my son introducing me to this strange world.
Does he watch it on TV, or he only knows about it when you take him to like watch cars go around in circles?
No, he watches it on TV. That's why there's only one race a year in the LA area. And so we've gone to that now the last 2 years. This time we kind of made like a guy's weekend out of it, stayed overnight, you know, at a hotel. Like there is nothing more exciting for a kid than having like Frosted Flakes in the morning or like Fruit Loops out of one of those things.
Oh yeah. Staying in a hotel when I was a kid was
hot tub. So, we had a lot of fun.
How long did you stay at the race this time?
Oh my God, so long. Like 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours each day. We went 2 days.
It was a 2 day race?
They build all this stuff around it, like rides for kids, other like daredevil stunts and crazy stuff. And then they have like a minor league type race. The first time we did this whole thing where you like walk around pit row and you can like be right next to the cars and talk to the people and stuff. It was cool, I guess. I think I'm about done for it. Next year I might do one day. He loved it, yeah.
Did he get tired and like want to get the hell out of that?
No, he doesn't get tired at all. Like he like missed his mom so much. It's like that I need to like just like overload him with fun to even the scales a little bit, but it doesn't really help.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad he was good about that present you got him. sounds good. We won't talk about who we voted for, but I will say that I think it's interesting that all three of us voted for the same person today.
Based on my limited interaction, it's like most of the people I know voted for this person, which is, you know, I guess I just live in a bubble. I live in a bubble.
I have a lot of friends who are very supportive of other people, but yeah, it's interesting, I guess. And that was the week, and now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? Like someone's reading my diary. what is the playlist called?
Today I grabbed something that's called Dark Dark Viacom.
Oh my God, it's so appropriate right now, because for notes we did not get any notes, but I didn't even get the email that's like, here are the ads for the week. They just showed up here. Maybe he just emailed you.
Yeah, I talked.
Usually he emails all of us and has like either a note or like great job or whatever. And but it's like that's what I've been getting from the network. Like I've been doing Good Talk now for the last couple of weeks.
That's your show going to be on Comedy Central this summer?
Either this summer or this fall, we're still figuring it out. But like Viacom is still going through growing pains over this mergers. That the word I've heard is corporate gloom. Like everyone's just kind of like no one's really talking to each other. And everyone's just like bummed about this person leaving or this person being reassigned, that we hear very little. But it just sounds like corporate gloom at Comedy Central and Viacom. So no, we did not get any notes, but it's like I just feel bad for everyone. And I've met with like two of the people who have been let go in the past couple of weeks to kind of just talk about not at things, but just like, you know, kind of like what's next. And I enjoyed working with you, which is always like a interesting, fun, but like depressing dinner.
I did get a text from Jeremy today, right before we started, saying, please send regards to the guys. No notes. Don't tell them, but folks are really loving the podcast over here.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. So yeah, I guess we did get some notes, but yeah, the overall note is just corporate gloom that, you know, I feel for people here at the network who are, you know, unsure about their jobs or their responsibilities. But things are good talk, could not be better. We're very excited about
it. You're ramping up.
Yeah, I mean,
what are you doing exactly?
Written one of the script. We're like, we have bookings coming in. We got like almost over half of them done like the first day. It was just like immediate yeses or a couple immediate no's of like, I'm just not going to be in town that month.
You're doing eight shows this season
as opposed to six. And we got some great guests, some people I'm really excited about. A couple people we're still like, we're trying to figure out when they're coming in. But I'm very excited about that. And a lot of the ideas the writers have are fantastic. We have one of the scripts done already, of the eight, and I'll work on a couple more tonight, but couldn't be happier. And it's kind of the interesting thing about Good Talk this year is that I remember making the original show, and the show changed a lot in the edit. So like now I'm trying to kind of I'm trying to recreate that original energy from season one, but now I think about the show as the finished product, if you will. Like, I think about this final episode. So doing a new script, we used to do a lot of extra stuff in case, like, if this doesn't work, we have this. And now I'm just thinking about it differently. That's very interesting to me. And I don't have to work harder, but you got to work a little smarter to not repeat yourself and to keep things fresh and focused.
Is there anything from season one that you would want to carry over, like segment ideas or stuff like that? Like, or do you sort of find yourself being like, I want this to be completely different?
A little both. Like, we like the tone and everything, but the more we can personalize it to each person,
yeah,
it's always a little better. Lessons we learned. I think Who Cares is definitely coming back. We ask someone a question and then immediately there's like a gunshot and you hear Who Cares. I love doing that. But everything else is kind of changing a little bit, and just things we've learned are better. But some of like we call them wacky bits that we do. We've got some really fun ideas that I'm excited about. Like, I'll come in and be like, "All right, guys, work on questions, work on joke questions, work on agree or disagree, and work on some wacky bits." So those are really fun. And of course, I'll be making fun of the title at the top of every episode. But I can't announce any of the guests yet. Probably won't be able to for some time. But I'm very happy about who we have. And hopeful about the last couple kind of trickling in, but I couldn't be happy with the staff I have and everything going on, so it's good talk is good. And that was, did we get any notes?
Fade into gray.
Now let's take it down to a happier place where there's no corporate gloom. This is a place we like to call Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She likes to take vacations to the combine every now and again, and we take the whole day off. But she's great. She's got a lot of spunk, a little less spunk now that she's gotten older. You know, this is her like third year doing the show, third birthday, I believe. Second?
Yeah, third.
Third? Yeah,
crazy.
Sure. Crazy. Yeah, it seems.
Second? First?
Second. We've only done this for 2 years.
But I feel like she's had more birthdays.
Me too.
But yeah, we like to give her a little chance
goes
to carve
out, for
out
like 8 straight days.
Do not interrupt me. we like to give her a little corner of the podcast to carve out for herself and ask us a question, maybe play a game, whatever she wants, and then read a listener comment of the week. So go ahead, Erica. Shine
for
on.
Sure. Yeah. So did a fan email this week. This is from Max, and if you want to send in emails, it's jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. Max, how do Greg and Anthony find so much time to read? I heard Bill Simmons is trying to read 75 books this year. Sounds impossible. Except it seems like Greg and Anthony might each read 100-plus books every year. I would always need to read to be doing that. Fast readers? I know they have other things going on. Family, movies, alcoholism, etc.
I like this question because I feel like we're going to have different answers. And you obviously have like a much busier life than I do, like having two kids, you know, having a job type job. But I want to hear your answer
job,
first.
Job
type job. You know what movie that's from?
No.
Reservoir Dogs.
Ooh.
You've probably never seen it.
I have, but it's been a long time. I know how many books. I read about 35 to 40 books a year.
Yeah, but how?
Well, that was the start. I make it a priority, you know, that I, especially February through July or August, when I'm not in the NFL season, like I, whatever free time I can find, you know, at night or like today, I took a train downtown and then to here for another work thing. You know, and you read on the you find as much time as you can, and I don't watch much TV. I mean, I think that's the main thing. Is people are like, how would you ever have the time? And it's like the same people who just said, I just tore through the entire Office. You know, like seasons 1 through 8, and it's like that's the time.
Yeah,
probably.
I think that's a big part of it. Is like you replace reading with like I don't watch a lot of movies anymore. I don't watch a lot of TV anymore, but like I'll make time to read, and I read as if it's my job.
Right. You know, I make even if I'm not like. I force myself to like crank through a book. If it's like a really long one, I'll just like be super, like I'll be diligent about like, I want to just finish this in a week because I don't want to spend like a month on this book because it's 700 pages. I'll just like make sure I crank through it. If I'm not liking the book or whatever, you give up, move on to another, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always enjoyed reading. I learned to read at an early age and felt like it was like learning a language. It was just like, oh wow, this magical language that I can understand. My parents told me that when I was like a little kid in Montessori school, that I was a holy terror, And the only thing they could do to calm me down ever was read to me. That if someone read to me, then I was just totally chill no matter what. And they had a volunteer, this old man who would come in just to read to me like twice a week, just to like get me out of their hair for a little bit. That I've always enjoyed it. And I think it's important to just like choose the right books. Like if you don't love a book after 100 pages, toss it and pick up something that excites you
after
and gets you
going. After 15 pages sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll quit. Like one of my favorite things about reading is the moment you finish one book and just like trying to decide which book you're going to go to next. And like to get to that moment, you have to finish the book. What's next?
I've been trying to read more because I've got to write more comedy. And there are comedians who like go out and live their lives and then they use that experience to draw on. But I like to just stay at home. I don't like to go out and do things. So by reading books, it's like I get other people's experiences through. And some people are like, I don't read fiction. I read nonfiction. I love literature.
Right. I heard the Bill Simmons thing. He says he had been barely reading for years and years. And I listen to his podcast sometimes. And he said this year, yeah, he was going to read 75. But then I heard him drop that he's only reading nonfiction books.
Yeah.
Because fiction messes him up, which is a I don't understand that.
I read some nonfiction now and again, but I think I've read two books this past weekend, and
you
I
read
one during the week.
I feel like you crank your number for the year would be.
I've been writing down every book I've read this year, and I'm at like 25 right now.
Wow.
Some of them are shorter than others, but I've read some great stuff. I'll definitely have some more, but I think it is like choosing the right book and like setting aside time to do. You have to just like you have to want to do it. Some people
like
work out and they love working out. Or they like just hate it and they got to get it out of the way. If you learn to love it, you'll get into it.
It is very similar to running, which I do a lot at long distance running or working out. I think once you're in the flow of it and you've been doing it for a couple weeks and cranking, then it's very easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in reading shape.
Mm-hmm. I find it almost like meditative. Like you just turn your brain off and let the book pour into you. That I really enjoy.
And there's some books I'm just gonna throw one out there. Like sometimes you need a book that like gets you back into like reading shape, like a big, like plot driven book that just that pulls you in and you crank it, and then suddenly you're just like ready to read a ton more. I read one recently, Fates and Furies by Lauren Groff, which was exactly like that. Don't give me a look.
I'm giving you that. It's not recommendation station yet. Look,
I'm just saying if you're looking for one of those types of books.
I mean, there's different kinds. Some it's like the plot's amazing. Some of the characters are amazing. Some it's like just written so well. You enjoy just like reading the sentences. It doesn't even matter what they're talking about. And there's all different kinds. It's just learning to love it. That's the answer. I hope that helps. And I think everyone should read. Again, we've talked about this. People say it's pretentious to talk about reading so much. If you talked about watching so many TV shows, no one would be like, that's pretentious. It just... the form of entertainment that I enjoy and Greg enjoys more than others. Like I went and saw Invisible Man this weekend and hated it and just wished I was at home reading.
What's Invisible Man?
The new movie just came out. It's
he's like in the backseat of your car or whatever.
The ads have been terrible.
Oh, so it's like, not like like a remake of the book.
Which book?
Invisible Man. Isn't that a book?
The civil rights book or the H.G. Wells.
I'm just going to stop
The guys
talking.
Who are really invisible. There was the Ellison book, which I've read.
I was talking about.
Yeah, it's not that. It's a horror movie. Ralph Ellison. This is different. It's like, remember when we saw Hollow Man back in the day? Were you with us?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that. Only from the victim's point of view. But I hated it. My friend, I saw it with a friend who was very into it, and I was like, I hated it. And she was like, oh, it's kind of like The Strangers, which fucked me up. And I was like, I hated The Strangers for the same reasons that I hated Invisible Man.
There's not many worse feelings than being at a movie that you know you're not enjoying 20 minutes into it.
I loved the first 10 minutes and then it was all downhill from there. But I like the guy who did it. He made Upgrade a couple years ago and I thought that was amazing. But I'm glad it's doing well. Who's the actress from Mad Men who played the...
Elizabeth Moss.
Peggy.
I love
her. She's great in it. The whole time I was like, I'd rather be reading this book, and then I went home and finished the book, even though I should have gone to bed. Erica, what is the comment of the week?
Comment of the week is Better Than Ever headline. You three have such a good chemistry on this show. Led by a truly brilliant Anthony, this podcast always feels way too short. You guys leave me wanting more. Nonstop hilarity. Please do hundreds of shows and keep going.
100, that's it. Who left a comment?
Bronco Talika.
I like that. I like this comment. You know, not trying to, you know, make some big jokes, just telling us we're great. I mean, this is the route we should be
five stars
going with the comments. Five stars.
I looked over the comments last night.
We only want five stars.
I looked at the comments last night to see, and someone gave us two stars, maybe three. And they were like, I'm sick of hearing Anthony talk about his rich white guy problems. Like, I'm a rich white guy. What do you want? Like, you're listening to my podcast. I'm not going to make up stories about not having money. And I have plenty of stories of that back in the day before, you know, all this happened. But I think people like my rich white guy problems, like buying Greg a very expensive birthday present that he rejects on the spot in my face before I go buy him a different very expensive birthday present for him and his wife to sit across from me while they drink their red wine.
I mean, the dinner, what could be better than dinner with friends? It was unbelievably good.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I thought we all got full. You have to tell them when to stop.
So it was the first that I was drinking at, I think, literally the first time ever, and we've probably had hundreds of dinners, that I drank and you did not.
Yeah. I've not had a drink in like months now.
You're still going strong, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want
to. I'm not into it. I never feel like a want for it, and everything else has been great. I'm just very, very tired. And I was a little sick for a little bit. Like the flu glanced off me. But I had a couple tough weeks, but now I am 100%. I think, although I don't.
Yeah, about that coronavirus, you know what I'm saying.
You know, I read a thing that the coronavirus that people have like 40% of people have stopped drinking Corona beer because of the coronavirus.
Yes,
it's not true.
So dumb.
It's not true.
Oh, it's not.
They did like a survey and they asked you like, are you like? They asked like people like, are you more likely to drink Corona beer? It's like people who don't drink the beer. Like it's wildly misleading, the stat. It's like one of those like, isn't this a crazy thing? But they don't give you like the research behind it that is annoying. I was thinking like this might be the coronavirus might be the thing that ends the second comedy boom. That people won't want to tour as much. People won't be like won't want to go out and sit in a theater or sit in a comedy club and watch a bunch of people. That this might end the comedy boom. And I think people are still going to make livings and do well, but it won't be the same as it has. It's been people are waiting for this boom to bust. It's been going on for almost 10 years now of like insane touring, these insane Netflix deals. That I could see it ending, but I could also see it having no.
Well, there's different levels of panic. Like I met some people, including a good friend of mine in Indianapolis. We were. Erica and I at the scouting combine last week, and
exciting.
One guy, like he didn't want to shake hands anymore. Like he was like, oh, I don't want to be weird, but I don't want to, you know. I think we're in the stage where maybe it's safer to not shake hands, which seemed like a little over the top. But like in my brother Dean, who's coming out in a month to visit us. Was like, well, maybe that won't happen, you know, now because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not traveling right now. And it's not so much like you're worried about the virus, it's everyone else's reaction.
Right.
It's almost like after 9/11. Flying after 9/11 was such a pain in the ass and so awful because everyone was so freaked out that I think the freak out is almost as bad as the virus itself. But we'll see. I'm glad I don't have a tour scheduled.
We flew. Yeah. It was fine. We'll be flying to Florida for the owners' meetings in about a month. It'll be fine.
I'm sure it will. I just, like, I'm more conscious of, like, washing my hands and stuff. And, like, I've never been a germ guy. But you're, like, you've got to.
I have wet ones for the plane. I, like, wipe down my seat.
I've never been a wet guy.
I mean,
me neither.
Kids that are returning to the country are not allowed to go to Walker's preschool for 2 weeks and after they return.
That's we got an email from work saying that if we're even showing non-symptoms, but you went out of the country, you're like have to work at home for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I was like, book me out of the country. Like I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how like it went from like, oh, how sick are you? Can you come in to like stay the fuck out of here?
Yeah,
I like that. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Now it's time for
Ad Copy. The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP,
is brought to you by none other than Manscaped.com. Oh, they've been supporting us a long time, and we support Manscaped. We even support the Manscaped car that I saw as a sponsor at the NASCAR event this weekend. special exciting moment. Xfinity series. We rooted them on. And that's because we know it's a great product. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they successfully created the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. This third generation Manscaped trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. We are so connected to the Manscaped brand that when I was with Walker at the hotel, I was in the bedroom at the time. It was like a suite, and he was watching TV, cartoons in the morning in the other room. And an ad for Manscaped came on at like 6:45 in the morning on Animal Planet. And he yelled at me. He's like, "Daddy, that's your razor." So it's like he knows. He knows we're fans of the Manscaped.
And we're not saying you should use it in front of your kids. It's a decision every parent should make. But that's something that Greg
I guess
enjoys.
He's seen the box that we got from Manscaped.
Everyone's got to teach the kid how to shave at some point. You may as well do it when they're three.
Yeah, he's five, so it'll be a little time until he's going to need this this charging stand, which is really how you show your mower off loud and proud, because it's great. It's a rapid charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product. I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VANITY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code VANITY, VANITY.
And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
So we are going to the world of the NFL. We're going back to the combine. We're going to Indianapolis, Anthony.
I didn't hear much about the combine, but I did hear about this first story. Greg, break it down for us.
I somehow missed it while we were there.
Really? It wasn't like the talk of the...
I think I was back here in Los Angeles by then that it got out, because this was a story that really shouldn't have gotten out. What happened was Trey Adams, a 370-pound offensive tackle, was doing a Q&A with combine staffers, where he gets a bunch of questions, and they use this tape to show the rest of the league that maybe didn't get to meet with this guy, just to get a feel of them. And these questions are supposed to remain private, but this one did not. It kind of became a viral thing. They asked Trey Adams if there was one thing that he could change about himself, what would it be? I think we do have the audio. Let's listen.
If you can change anything about yourself, what would it be?
Bigger dick.
Okay. is there someone?
People were upset that someone would talk about the penis in a job interview. People were definitely upset that it leaked, like it shouldn't have leaked.
Right.
They didn't think he was unprofessional. Didn't he say shit? At the
yeah,
beginning,
it keeps.
Yeah, you're definitely not supposed to swear at job interviews. I don't think of it as like that thing as a job interview. I don't see what the big deal is, because I've talked about my penis in every job interview I've ever had.
You have?
Yes, every single job interview I've ever had, whether I've gotten the job or not, is a fair point. But I've always talked about it.
It seemed like a bold move.
I try to work it in.
From do you want me to give you some typical interview questions?
Like generic, typical interview questions?
Yeah, and just see how you normally would
shoot,
do it. Okay.
Shoot. It's been a long time since I've had a job interview.
I used to be a boss. I infamously once sort of hired Erica, but at the NFL.
No.
Yeah, we interviewed you.
Infamously?
We talked to you. Well, we picked someone else, too, to
no,
have this
I was
job.
Already hired.
We made a big mistake. But I hired Erica here. I used to hire quite a bit on our news desk. I no longer do that. But I it's been a while, but hopefully... Hopefully I can still remember some of these. I guess just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Little?
Yeah.
Little about myself. That makes me think of my penis, my little penis.
Okay. What would you say your biggest weaknesses are?
My biggest weakness is my penis when it's soft. You know what I mean? When it's when it's not erect. And my balls are a weakness. If I get hit in my balls, I go right down.
Yeah, that's not really
It's my biggest weakness. Everything else
it's not really related to the job.
Doesn't have to. I mean, listen, You know, if you hire me, I'm a package deal.
What would you say? What would you say are your biggest strengths?
My penis when it's hard.
So you seem like you're all over the place.
I mean, I'm hard or I'm soft. Yeah.
What?
But I promise, if I get this job, I'll be rock hard.
What? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I'd like to see myself in like the Penis Hall of Fame. You know, like, or maybe coaching. Something penis related.
So you're saying like Trey Adams, this guy, he's not out of step with the way to get a job. You think it's a good idea?
I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm just saying it's what I do.
All right, let's say we're at the interview. Like out of all other candidates, like why should we hire you?
Have you seen the people out there? Have you seen the dicks?
No, we're not allowed to talk about that.
We talked about it, but when we were waiting to come in here, and I think penis-wise, I'm the superior candidate.
How did you even learn?
Some of those people out there are girls, don't even have dicks.
How did you even learn about this job?
How'd I learn about it? On the internet while I was looking at porn. Playing with my penis. Something like a banner popped up.
I mean, the interview, it's an unconventional one, but I am curious, like, why do you even want this job?
You know, I mean, I just need something to kind of fill up the rest of my day when it's not, like, penis-related activities.
Keep coming back to that.
Yeah.
That penis topic. I just feel like that's not, like, what we're necessarily, like, looking for first.
You didn't know you were looking for it. It's kind of like the first time you discovered your own penis, you know, you're just kind of hanging out and asking questions. And all of a sudden, like you're having the time of your life.
What do you consider
work hard, play hard?
What do you consider to be your biggest professional achievement?
Probably one time I took penis enhancement pills, like a lot of them. And they didn't like work in the way they should have. It was almost just like carrying around a swollen balloon. But I was able to throw it over my shoulder and carry it around the office, and everyone was pretty impressed.
What kind of office was that?
It was like a typical kind of just a, you know, a lot of like an open plan office, you know, where no one could close the door.
Tell me about the last time like a coworker or a customer got angry with you and what happened.
You're not going to believe this, but I come out of the bathroom and my fly's down. I didn't know it. My fly's down. And my pants and underwear around my ankles. And some bitch got angry and called HR. Luckily, I worked for HR. It wasn't a big deal.
I'm going through, you know, some of the most popular questions at job interviews. Here's one you hear a lot. Just describe your dream job for me.
My dream job, nobody wears clothes. And we're just kind of running around, oiled up, using computers, using high-tech equipment, and rubbing up against the walls. Is that what you guys do here?
That's not what we do at all. Why would you think that?
You got four walls in this room.
Why do you keep bringing every question that we ask back to your penis?
I mean, if you saw my penis, which you will, you would understand.
why do you want to leave your current job?
I have to. They're kind of uptight.
What was your salary at your last job?
I think of it in terms of penises. Six figures. High six figures.
Well, tell me what kind of work environment like you like.
A laid-back work environment, like a anything-goes work environment. Let's have a couple drinks at lunch work environment and then take our clothes off.
What's your tell me about the toughest decision you've had to make in the last 6 months.
You know, I heard about a surgery that would double the size of your penis and the number of penises that you have, and I decided not to get it.
Double the number of penises that you have?
Mm-hmm. You heard me.
Okay.
I don't know why you're in this interview, but yeah, you can think about having two penises. It'd be amazing.
And so why did you choose against it? And why would you think that would be appropriate to to bring up in a job interview.
Listen, if you don't want to hire me based on my answers, I don't want to work here. I don't want to work at PNC. And I've had plenty of jobs. I get hired at like 5 different places a week, and then move around a lot. But
what is your leadership style, would you say?
Balls to the wall. You know, kind of just let the little man do the talking, you know?
The little man.
When in doubt, whip it out is something I say a lot.
How do you think other people like would describe you?
Guy who always talking about his penis. Guy talks about it nonstop. If he's like, hey, did you see that Manscaped commercial? That's me.
Like what then would we, like if you come to work for us, like what would you, you know, what would we expect?
What would
you
I bring to the table?
Yeah, what would you bring to the table for like the first few months? Like,
I'll
what
take it out
expect?
And put it on the table right now.
Why would you do that?
Because I like to take it out and then trace it on a piece of paper, and that's my Thanksgiving tradition every year.
Do you have family?
Mm-hmm.
Do they like that?
Split down the middle. You know, every family's different. You know what I mean? But I'm close with some. You know, some others aren't so into it. But, you know, I think that's more a private question. I think it's inappropriate that you asked it.
What do you like to do outside of work? This is my last question for you.
What I do outside of work? I feel like I'm always at work. So I'm always just kind of thinking about my penis or talking about it or sometimes whispering about it. Sometimes reading about my penis, like I journal. And then I look back and read over that journal. I have a blog about my penis.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's written from my penis's point of view. That I think I've been pitching as a TV show that I think would be funny, Penis with a Blog. But that's something that I do on my own time. You know, I mean, I wouldn't like necessarily bring the blog into the office, but I would, you know.
Well, people could read it. There's a newsletter
that I would send out company wide. That everyone could read and look at the pictures.
So you clearly don't have a problem with this prospect, Trey Adams.
No.
Keeping it real about what he would like.
I just think it's weird we only got to hear one of his answers when I wish we could have heard them all. You know, it would have been funny if he did what I did and just kept bringing it back. And it was like, doesn't even care about football.
Maybe he did. I mean, I don't think this is going to help Trey Adams. I don't think it's going to help the listenership of this show, like this interview, it's going to be a lot for some people to get through.
I think my mom won't enjoy it, but I think your mom's going to love it.
You think you know me better, better than my friends.
This is some sad fucking music. You handled that well, Greg, as like an interviewer. You know, you were very professional. You didn't get flustered. I think it went on a little long. You know, I feel like if you were actually interviewing someone who had give those answers, you would probably try to wrap it up pretty quickly.
You know, you gave me, we had a list. I got through most of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting.
You didn't ask my favorite question.
I asked them all, just about.
You asked one wrong.
What was that? How'd
you find out about this opening?
What was your answer?
With my penis. The same way I find about all openings. I was looking forward to that one.
Sorry.
How'd you hear about this job?
I'm really glad. Really glad we still got that.
We work hard in this show. Yeah. Work hard, play hard.
The Spanish Carnival Parade in Campo de Criptana, which is a small village in the central region of Spain, got in a lot of hot water this week for what a lot of people, you know, including me, believe was an offensive carnival parade float and dance troupe. The Israeli government and the Auschwitz Museum have accused a Spanish carnival of trivializing the Holocaust after a troupe in their carnival danced through the streets dressed as Nazi officers and sexy concentration camp prisoners. So as part of their carnival festival, like one of like the troops coming through town were in full Nazi regalia, and the women were wearing concentration camp outfits, but with like halter tops.
Wasn't
and
it two separate troops? Like one troop came through Nazis, one troop came through as like cell, like they had a menorah.
Yes, they had a menorah. Like, I think it was. I assumed that they were all connected. But yeah, people thought this was very offensive.
I'd say it's pretty offensive, but it's almost understandable, and I'll say why. Like, you can have Nazis, you can have dancing, but you can't have dancing Nazis. That's like a bridge too far. I think that this carnival thing is always like dancing and celebrating and just like having a fun time. But this year they decided let's do something good and try to be serious or like do something like honorable.
No.
And kind of honor the Holocaust victims, but then they still wanted to have a good time. So I think they put these costumes on thinking they're going to be honoring people and then just wanted to dance anyway. They shouldn't try to do anything serious or have any kind of message.
No,
I don't think it was anti-Semitic.
There's no scenario where it's okay to be dressed as Nazis marching through the street at all.
I agree.
And the fact that they're dressing and they have choreographed dance moves of swinging their guns around and like dancing and prancing is outrageous.
Yeah, I see your point there.
There's no scenario that the women are dressed as concentration camp victims and literally have like the concentration camp numbers on, you know, their halter tops.
In their defense, they got to dance too.
Yeah, they got to dance too. And the parade organizers say they were trying to do it to honor, you know, the Jewish men, women, and children who perished in the Holocaust.
I believe that
Doesn't
was the intention,
seem,
but
I
they
do,
but
I
it was
not.
It was they blew it. They were like, we just want to have a good time. It's like Comedy Central sometimes would be like, we're gonna have a classier roast. And then it would just deteriorate into what roasts always are. I think they tried to do something good and real and ended it in the wrong time, in the wrong place.
I mean, some of like the most respectful tributes, you know, are done with really sexy outfits on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if that's really what they're going for,
I don't think the Nazi...
It's like super jaunty.
I don't think of the Nazi uniform as sexy, but apparently
I'm talking about the women outfit here. There was like this was a thing apparently this year, sort of. This happened in Spain, but there was also in a Belgian town. I don't know if you saw that too, which was kind of connected. They had like just a straight out anti-Semitic like floats and displays in their carnival festival where it was just like huge Jews with like hooked noses and they got into some trouble.
That's
for that.
Bad. I mean, that's like we're going to be anti-Semitic for the sake of fun. I think I honestly believe they were like, let's do something to honor the victims of the Holocaust, but did not think it through. It's almost like you have asked a Halloween costume and then you just want to go out and have fun, but you shouldn't have done it. Like if you were like, I'm going to be Anne Frank for Halloween because I want to honor them, but you didn't really put the time into it and everyone has to ask you what you are and you're dancing a lot. It's like that.
Underrated. Yeah. It's like all the politicians who now you find pictures of them in blackface, at like a Halloween party in the year 2005 or something like that. Cause they were too dumb to realize at the time that wasn't a good idea. I guess the new blackface is, you know, Holocaust outfits.
Mm-hmm. And the Nazi thing too. Don't forget that. Ugh. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Support for this podcast comes from Comedy Central's new podcast, Everyday Decisions with Joe Firestone. That's right. I'm reading this ad for free. Joe Firestone is a New York-based comedian who can be found on The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. Joe Pera talks with you, shrill, and more. Just an aside, I know Joe Firestone. I adore her. I believe she's opened for me before. And if not, I've always have enjoyed her comedy, her point of view, and just her overall stage presence is a delight. Now on her new podcast, Joe sits down with comedians, authors, musicians, and everyday people to learn about the decisions, both big and small, that help them get through their day. Every week, listen to the comedian who the New York Times says turns banality into hilarity. Banality into hilarity? Hilarity? Banality? You know, you get what I'm saying. And who the AV Club has described as an oddball comedian as interested in creating experiences as she is in making people laugh. That's right. The AV Club used to be a real website that had actual journalism and made sense. Not like now when it's a total crock of shit. Subscribe now to Everyday Decisions with Joe Firestone on Apple Podcasts. It'll be the best decision of your entire day. That's right. I took time out of an ad to talk shit in the AV Club.
Why?
It used to be so great.
They,
and now
they
it's
didn't
the
like
worst.
Your new special or something? I thought that the AV Club is good.
All those people who were like good back and talked about comedy are gone. They don't even review comedy specials anymore. They barely review anything. It's a terrible website. It used to be my favorite.
It's tough out there.
Joe Firestone, Everyday Decisions. Check it out. And that was
ad copy.
All right, our final story from our favorite place, New Orleans, where two different people were killed in parade-related death during this Mardi Gras season. Pretty similar circumstances. The second death happened on Saturday night of Mardi Gras week, which to me is kind of the peak, I would say. You still have like a big runway in front of it. But Saturday night is kind of like it. Endymion's happening. All the big ones are the next day. You're looking forward to it. You're going to stay out maybe the whole night. And that's when a man was hit and killed by a float during the parade. Immediately they canceled, you know, the rest of the parade and the rest of the festivities that night.
How'd the other person die?
Very similarly,
Someone getting out of a float, or
no,
they were like
what happened,
trying to cross the street?
So I did a deep dive because I was surprised by this. It doesn't happen much, but they banned what's called tandem floats for the rest of the carnival or rest of Mardi Gras, which means, you know, just floats that are attached to each other, where it's not like a single tractor or driver pulling each float. And what happened each time was someone's like reaching for beads and leaning forward, and somehow trips and falls and gets stuck between like the two.
Yeah, no one can see them. Like the driver
right,
is like
the driver
up ahead.
Is like six cars ahead or three cars ahead, and they somehow get stuck between you know, the two floats, and they get run over by, you know, a multi-ton thing. And
yeah,
that's that.
I'm just shocked that this doesn't happen every year. They were like, the last time this happened was years ago. It was also a tandem float. Somebody was getting out of
10
it
years ago,
and they got out and the thing lurched forward. And yeah, it is unsafe. I never thought about it when I was like, we were watching parades back in the day. But it also never occurred to me to try to like cross the street and like get in between them, which is fucking deadly. But I was just shocked that it's been so long. You would think people were killed every single parade. And
yeah.
They just kept going.
Yeah. I was thinking how crazy it was right when this happened. And then they said no more tandem should be used for the rest of Mardi Gras out of safety. And like those next, you know, parades in the next day, like Bacchus or whatever, it's all tandem floats where it's like three, four cars. Some of them are like, the longest one they said is a 25 car thing,
right,
where it's all connected, and they weren't allowed to do it, so they had to figure out different ways to do it. But yeah, imagine being there. I mean, people had video of it, of just like a friend was trying to help the person out. There's really not a lot of funny things we can say about this.
No, I'm just surprised it doesn't happen all the time. And in New Orleans' defense, like everyone was like, "Oh, tandems are banned." Yes, like we're not going to fight you on this. We're cool with it. And I think from now on, I think next year there won't be any tandem floats.
I don't know though, because that is what Mardi Gras is. And yeah, it was surprising it hasn't happened in Mardi Gras for a long time. But like at a Christmas parade in Tennessee last year, a 7-year-old boy was crushed by a float. And earlier that month in South Carolina, a 5-year-old boy was killed in a similar thing, basically walking between floats. That's what you got to watch out for.
Did you ever almost die during Mardi Gras?
No. I had one of my best friends, Evan, who you know, took a face plant his first night. Did a common mistake that a lot of people do, is like they went way too hard their first night, and yeah, he just hit the ground, and his face was just completely destroyed and gashed. And later that night he was pickpocketed on Canal Street. Or maybe it was earlier than I don't really remember the timeline. But yeah, he just, the whole rest of the trip, he just walked around and you're just, and everyone was like, oh, you're that guy.
When friends came into town, it was always hilarious to watch them. Like, they'd go hard the first night and then they couldn't go out. They'd watch movies for the rest of the weekend. We were like, they were amazed that we didn't sleep. We just knew how to handle it. But yeah, I never.
Evan rallied, but because he lost his ID, then he had to get, you know, a license right when he got back to Connecticut where he was going to school. And so for like 10 years, he just had this huge gash on his face on his license, which made me remember some good times at Fat Harry's outside.
And now let's take it down to
Choo-choo.
Recommendation Station. Greg, I hope you got a book.
I don't.
You want me to go first?
I don't.
Okay, I got a book. I think I might do books all the season. I'm sure I've recommended something else at some point, but the rest of the season, all books. I, like, since we had a week off, I read so much that I'm like, I had to go back. This isn't the last book I read, but I read it. Just I've been reading a lot of books that have just come out, and this book is great. It's called Real Life by Brandon Taylor. It's his first book. A wonderful new author. It's funny. I started following him on Twitter. And he followed me back like right away. And I wrote him a direct message being like, hey, man, love the new book. Congratulations. I hope you're enjoying like your newfound success. And I didn't hear, but I didn't get like a message back. And I'm like, huh, maybe he hasn't seen it. And then I see his Twitter is all just like him having anxiety attacks in every city where he's got to go do a book reading. He's just like so miserable traveling, hates it so much. It's like, I'm never coming to California ever again. Like, just like having the worst time of his life. That I thought that was very funny, but it's a great book.
Some people don't check their DMs, you know.
Sure.
They don't know.
It could be many different reasons. I'm not upset about it. But I'm definitely laughing at him not having a good time at all. with his newfound fame. It's a great book. It's a campus novel. It's something you would have read in college enjoyed. That kind of brought me back to the old like Bret Easton Ellis books. I really enjoyed it. It's about race. It's about class. It's about you know, an education and what you're going to do with the rest of your life, that I always enjoy books like that. So Real Life by Brandon Taylor, out in hardcover now.
Dang, I'm sold. I'm a suck. That's kind of like a subgenre I always like. I am not recommending a book, although I did mention Fates and Furies earlier. I'm recommending a show on Netflix, Hip Hop Evolution. Have you heard of this?
I tried to watch it.
Have you ever watched it? And what did you think?
I think I was fucked up when I tried to watch it.
So here's what I would say. Hip Hop Evolution is a documentary about the evolution of hip hop, about the history. Just shut up. If like,
you know, if you had taken a broadcast course, you would have known not to make that mistake.
Yeah. If Ken Burns kind of made like a history of hip hop, but was much cooler and had a much more hip hop sensibility, I think it would be like this.
What do you think his other documentaries would have been like if he was a much cooler, much hipper sensibility?
I'm just saying, like
Ken Burns going hard in the Civil War, with like a beat.
Yeah, I mean the music in it's obviously great. The interviews are great. And here's what I would say: just pick the episodes you want. You don't need to watch it in order. I personally don't need to go back and like watch the Sugar Hill Gang and watch the start and watch in order. I didn't do that at all. I started sort of near the end with the New Orleans episode. Like they have a New Orleans episode where it kind of like shows the evolution from like Bounce to Master P, and like by the time like the horns come in on Back That Ass, it feels like a goddamn triumph. Like I was so excited, and a lot of the episodes are like this where it's sort of this rise and you realize it's like creating something totally new, like the birth of gangster rap. That's like the first one I watched. I've popped around, but there's a great one on kind of the Dirty South, a great one on like mixtape culture, which was really cool on TI, like gave me a new respect for Ice-T. I haven't watched all of them, but I think they're awesome.
Does it just come out, or is it like a new season?
There's
come out?
Four seasons of four episodes each. They're about 45 minutes. And like I said, I've just kind of popped around in order of whatever's interested me. And a lot of the times, like when they did the gangster rap one, it like made me love Ice-T, but like once they get to NWA and like, and that song comes out and the people that were there at the time, it's just like, I don't know, I like want to jump out of my seat. It was awesome.
Sure. I've read a lot about hip hop and I've seen a bunch of those episodes, but it was one of those like, I'm watching a documentary, I'm on my computer doing other stuff that I didn't pay much attention, but I did enjoy it. I'll have to check out the newer seasons. But yeah, whenever something starts with the Sugar Hill Gang, I just check the fuck out.
Right. That's what I'm saying. The first three episodes I just like I threw past, but like the the one on like the producers of like Pharrell and Timbaland and stuff like that. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, sounds good. Erica, you want to recommend something?
Yeah, I'm super into, I'm sure you've seen it all over Twitter and you know, memes and everything, but Love is Blind on Netflix.
I've heard about it. It sounds controversial. Or is it like just so dumb?
It's so dumb that it's funny, and it's reality TV, but it's Netflix's version of reality TV. So it's super produced, and it's not like your typical, you know, Jersey Shore or something dumb. I mean, it is super dumb, but basically they have these guys and girls in pods and they can only talk to each other through a wall. And at the end of the 10 days, they have to get engaged, but it's Love is Blind. They can't see each other.
They're in a pod for 10 days.
Yeah. Well, they like go back to their own, like there's a girl's house and a guy's house. And then they take the couples if they get engaged, and then they go to Mexico, and then they move in together. And then it's like the countdown to the wedding. And it's only 10 episodes, and there's 5 couples that get engaged, and then they either say yes or no at the physical altar.
Do they like get to talk to 5 different people, and
they go on dates, like they go but on like,
with each other
pods.
Or they just, so it's not like you're just like number 1 and number 1, you guys go together.
No,
so they get to talk, and they're like, this is my person I want to pair up with.
Yep.
And then they start going on dates like that.
Yep, through the wall. And then they decide, like at the end of the 10 days, like, is Love Blind? They're like, I've really fallen for you as a person. Like, and then they see each other and either decide to go to like their travel together. They go to Mexico and see if the physical world goes with the mental world. It's so stupid.
It's 5 couples. It ends up being 5 couples. So to like spoil it first, cause we don't give a fuck. I'm sure our listeners don't. They've probably checked out during the penis segment. does anyone
2 out of the 5 legitimately get married?
And the other 3 left over, are they like, I don't want to, I see you now, I don't want to go on a honeymoon?
One of them are together still. They just like didn't get married because they go from the pods to in person. Like, they're not in pods in Mexico, so they like come, they see each other, and then they come, you know, so they see each other and get to spend, then they move in together and whatever, they meet their families. And then there's like one girl who like at the end of her thing, like she went to the altar and the guy was like, I do, like I want to marry you. And she was just like, yeah, no. And then left. And then her interview was like, yeah, I was never going to marry him. But she like went through the whole 30 day. Like, it's just batshit crazy.
Sounds 10 episodes?
Yeah.
Half hour? Hour?
Like 40 minutes.
I'm never going to watch it.
No, you actually, I feel like you would really love like making fun of it. It would stir your imagination in a weird, dumbass way.
You know, books do that too. I watched.
This reminds me of like the other question. It's like, I've heard a lot of people that like it, and Emeka watched it, and like everyone I know has watched every episode. But that's like, you're like, oh, it's only 11 episodes. It's like, that's like 11 hours of your life, which is, I'm not judging at all, but that's like a significant
time. I'm impressed, like, how you did the math right away.
I'm just saying, like, you could bang out, like, there's your time if you're looking for some time.
Yeah, but can't you do both? I've been trying to read more.
Sure. No, of course you can do both. I'm just saying that's where the time is.
I was going to say that, you know, I make fun of Erica a lot, but I actually watched your recommendation of Don't Fuck With Cats.
Yes.
And loved it.
It's crazy, right?
I really enjoyed it.
Jesus
but I will not be watching Love is Blind.
I can see you really having some fun with it for the TV show.
I don't think so.
Questions, like making fun of it, just like to be that, you gotta be like, it's like it's the wave of what's going on right now, and you could write some really funny stuff.
That's not
true.
The kind of
I think
thing
you need to
back.
Like really put your finger on the zeitgeist of like, you know, the latest reality shows and stuff like that. That's the next phase of Anthony Jeselnik's career.
I can't think of the last reality show that I watched.
Well, me neither. I'm not, you know,
really.
I can't.
Do you watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
No, fuck no.
Oh, but this is good?
Yeah, this is great. This is so ridiculous.
And that was.
Fuck off. Choo-choo.
Recommendation station. Now, Paige, get us out of here.
Knife for toddle. That's a spicy meatball. That's a spicy.
Thank you, Paige.
You're so cute.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.